Please open your Bibles now to Psalm 46. Another psalm that speaks about the sovereign reign of the living God and our Lord and King, Jesus Christ. Psalm 46. Please give your attention. This is God's holy word. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling cry, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Who has wrought desolations in the earth? He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. What kinds of things shake your world? When in your life have you been shaken to the core? Maybe it's been through natural disasters that you've experienced. Tornadoes here in Kansas, hurricanes, earthquakes, flood, fire. Maybe you have lived through a major war or faced a serious illness. Maybe it was the loss of a loved one or the loss of a job. The fact of the matter is, we live in a fallen world, and until Christ returns, there will be various threats that seek to destroy our peace of mind and our peace in life. Where do you turn for stability and for comfort? Psalm 46 answers that question. Our sovereign God is a refuge for all who trust in Him. Many commentators, when they are commenting on this psalm, make mention of how it's connected to Martin Luther's hymn that he wrote, which is based upon this psalm, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. And if we just take a moment to think about the life of Martin Luther, we can see how his life was certainly shaken, or at least the foundations were threatened, as he stood against the Roman Church of his day, upholding the doctrines of grace and the sole authority of Scripture. His life was threatened. He was excommunicated for heresy by the established church, but he stood firm. He stood firm, trusting in the Lord of hosts. I'm sure that this is a psalm that has provided great comfort to you at various times in your life, in the tumult and the trials that you faced in this world. It's a reminder of God's sovereignty and of His providence, that He is preserving and governing all His creatures and all their actions, as the Catechism tells us. and that He loves and that He keeps His people eternally. As we look at this psalm, we can see how it's easily divided into three stanzas, and the word Selah separates each of those stanzas. It's a word that we don't exactly know the meaning of, but believe that it's a word that indicates a pause in the music or a pause for contemplation. But as we consider each of these stanzas, in the first stanza, what we see is that the God of creation is our help in trouble. The God of creation is our help in trouble. We don't know the historical context of this psalm exactly, but some commentators suggest that the psalm was set in the days of King Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles 20, we have a record of a serious threat that came upon Judah when he was reigning as king. A vast army of eastern kings joined together, including the Ammonites and the Moabites and the king of Mount Seir. They came together as an overwhelming force, threatening the people of God, and Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do. His army was not large enough to defeat this great force, and so he threw himself on his face before the Lord. He cried out to God on behalf of his people. And God answered with a promise of deliverance. He said through his prophet, Jehaziel, that the army was to go out and to station themselves at a certain place, but that they would not have to fight. They were to watch and see the deliverance that the Lord would bring. And upon getting that word from the Lord through the prophet, Jehoshaphat and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down on their faces and they worshipped before the Lord. Now the army was still threatening, but it was the word from the prophet that led to worship. And some of the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord. And that's why we think that the historical context for Psalm 46 is this particular setting, because we see the sons of Korah are attributed as the writers of this psalm. Well, we don't have any way of confirming this absolutely, but what we do see here is that this event in the history of Israel is a great example of how God is a refuge for His people, because God gave a great victory. He caused chaos within that alliance of eastern armies so that they fought each other and were completely destroyed. And when the army of Israel looked over that field where they had gathered, all they saw were the dead bodies. God gave a great victory. And so what we see in the opening stanza of this psalm are words that picture for us God's protective care for His people. When we think about a vast force bearing down on our own nation, for example, threatening our homes and our families, it's a terrifying thing. But this psalm reminds us that God is our refuge and our strength and our help in trouble. God is our refuge. What does that mean? It means that He is an impenetrable fortress, our shelter from the elements, our protector. He's our strength, who gives us strength to continue in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the trouble of this world. He's our present help in trouble, who will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is our confident hope, despite the fact that the world seems to be flying apart. That's what the next verses picture, verses 2 and 3. Picture the worst forces of nature: earthquake, mountains are shaken, storm, raging floodwaters. But in all of this upheaval, what does the psalmist say? We will not be afraid. Why? Because God is our refuge. And the one who is our strength and our help in trouble is also the Creator of the universe. Notice how Isaiah 40, verse 12, describes His power as Creator. Read that it is God who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and marked off the heavens by the span. That's just the distance from your thumb to your little finger. And calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales. It's our Creator, God our Creator, who is our refuge and our strength and our help in trouble. Remember the powerful rebuke of Jesus as He calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee? Peace, be still. And what happened? The waves abated. The sea was like glass. He is our sovereign. He is our sovereign, the one who is over creation, and He has promised to protect His people. If our faith rests in Him, we will not be afraid. So the God who is our Creator, is our helper in trouble. But secondly, we see that the God of Jacob is in the midst of His people, the God of Jacob. In contrast to the roaring waters of the sea, verse 4 describes a gentle flowing river that supplies the needs of God's people. And this calls to mind the fountain of Siloam outside of Jerusalem, which is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 6. Isaiah used that fountain and that river to picture God's quiet and gentle care for His people. We see a picture also, a future picture of God's care, His refreshing care for His people in the heavenly Jerusalem. Where do we see that? The book of Revelation in chapter 22, where we read, "Then He showed me a river of the water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of God and of the Lamb of God." And so what we see pictured there in that Old Testament setting and in our expectation of the new heavens and the new earth, but also even right now in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is that God is the one who refreshes His people. God is the supplier of peace and goodness for His people. He dwells among His people. In the Old Testament, that was in the temple where He made His presence known. In the New Testament context, it is in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit of Christ. Jesus talked about living waters flowing from our inmost being, and that's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Though the nations rage and things seem topsy-turvy in the fury of the battle around us, we will not be moved. For our Lord is all-powerful. Just as He brought the world into existence by His Word, He can just as easily silence the rebellion of the nations. That's what the psalmist is emphasizing here. And so there's no reason for fear, he says. The Lord of hosts is with us, is the refrain. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, what does that picture? Lord of hosts pictures the armies of heaven, which serve as God's messengers for the preservation of His people. Remember that story of Elisha and his servant in 2 Kings chapter 6? Elisha was in the city of Dothan. Ben-Hadad, king of Assyria, sent his army out to capture Elisha because he kept telling the king of Israel when the king of Syria was going to attack. And so that morning, Elisha's servant got up, went out of the city, and he saw the city was surrounded by the Syrian army. And he was terrified, and he rushed back to Elisha. But Elisha prayed that God would open the eyes of his servants that he might see the heavenly host that was protecting them. And when he did, he saw the chariots of fire on the hills surrounding the city and the servants of the Lord. Elisha said, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And that is true for each one of God's redeemed children. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God who redeemed Jacob. Jacob, by the way, who was the schemer, the usurper. The God who redeemed Jacob and made his descendants to be a great nation. And the one through whom the Messiah came. He is our stronghold. He is in the midst of his people. We will not be moved. Well, that brings us to the third section. And what we see there is that the Lord of hosts will be exalted among the nations. The Lord of hosts will be exalted among the nations. Verse 8 calls us to consider the works of God. Come, behold the works of the Lord. And this ought to be our pattern. Whenever you're overwhelmed with troubles, whenever your life is being shaken by the difficulties and the threats of this world, you need to stop and go back and reflect upon the works of the Lord. We need to remember the biblical record of God's redemptive works. We need to also go back and reflect upon God's marvelous works throughout our lives, as He has brought us to salvation, as He has sustained us each step of the way, as He has met our needs with His mercy and grace. And we need to think about the way that God has worked marvelously in the lives of other Christians. Read about other Christians' testimonies, biographies of Christians. These are wonderful ways for us to reflect upon the wonderful, marvelous works of God. And what we find out is that God is faithful. He is faithful to all generations. And as we remember that, then we are strengthened in our faith. Then we are enabled to overcome fear. Elizabeth Elliot is one who testifies to God's care in her life in times of trouble. And she suffered the loss of not one, but actually two husbands in her life. Her first husband, Jim Elliott, was killed by the Alca Indians as a missionary in Ecuador. And then her second husband, Addison Leach, died after a battle with cancer. And in sharing her experiences, she referred to Psalm 46 and said how in the first shock of death, everything that has seemed most dependable has given away. Mountains are falling. Earth is reeling. In such a time, it is a profound comfort to know that although all things seem to be shaken, one thing is not. God is not shaken. And she went on to say that the most important thing to do at such times is to be still and to know that God is God. It comforts us to know that God's character is unchanging, that His care for His people will never be shaken, will never be forsaken. And so we see in this last stanza, God is pictured as the sovereign ruler of nations. It's through Jesus Christ, our King, that He reigns. He will defeat all of His and our enemies. He will silence the war machines. He is reigning and ruling now for the advancement of His kingdom and His church. And through the gospel's witness, people are bowing to Jesus. People from the many nations of the world are bowing before Him. And when Christ returns, there will be perfect peace in the new heavens and the new earth. Isaiah's prophecies will come to fruition. Isaiah 2:4, for example. And He will judge between the nations, and He will render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. And in Isaiah 11, verse 6, we read, "And the wolf will dwell with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will lead them. There will be peace, perfect peace, in that new creation. But now there is a warning here at the conclusion of this psalm. There's a warning to those who continue to resist. Be still and know that I am God, the psalmist says. And while these are words that are a call for God's people to quiet their hearts and to renew their faith in Him, they are also words of rebuke to the raging nations. It is folly to persist in rebelling against the Lord of hosts, attacking His people. Psalm 2 gives a similar warning with respect to Christ's future judgment. We read, "Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that He not become angry, and you perish in the way, for His wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in Him." How blessed are all who take refuge in Him. It's a warning, but that's the gospel. The Lord will be exalted among the nations. That is a certainty. He will be exalted in the earth. His name will be glorified. Bow now and be reconciled to Him through faith in Jesus Christ. If you don't bow now, you will bow later on that day of judgment when He comes to judge the living and the dead. But today is the day of salvation. How blessed are those who trust and take refuge in Him. And for God's redeemed people, what comforts we have in Christ. As our mediator and King, He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help in trouble. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. That is our confidence if we are in Christ tonight. And so when our world seems out of control, when our lives are shaken by troubles, we need to sing this song. We need to sing Psalm 46. God, our Creator, is our help in trouble. Our Savior is in our midst, providing refreshment and protection. And our Lord and King is coming again, and He will be exalted among the nations. Let's praise Him for His sovereign rule over all things and over all events in our lives. And may we glorify Him for His salvation and for continuing to preserve all of His redeemed people. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Let's bow in prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, what wonderful words these are of Your redeeming love, and Your almighty power and care and protection for Your people. Father, we thank You for these promises. We thank You for the grace that You have abundantly showered upon us through Your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray that You would strengthen our faith. Help us to be still and to wait upon You and not let our heart grow fearful and anxious in the midst of trouble. Father, help us to think of Your mighty power as our Creator and Your redeeming love as our Savior. And that Jesus Christ is King, that He reigns at Your right hand, that He is bringing into subjection all His and our enemies. Father, bless each one here tonight. Whatever the troubles are that we're facing, help us to look to You with renewed faith. Meet our need in Your abundant mercy tonight. Minister graciously and powerfully in our lives. Deliver us from the threats of the enemy and from fear. Help us to walk by faith in You, our living God, the Lord of hosts, who is with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.